going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Just how good is this draft from the quarterback perspective anyway? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. To me, you know, it seems like a consensus on Cam Ward. He's going to go number one overall. And I think generally the people who do this for a living, the draft Nick's Pearl, think he's going to be a good player, translates to the NFL well. After that, it's anybody's guess. And it starts with Shedeur Sanders. And I don't know what more Shedeur has to do to convince people that he does have the traits that will make him a viable starting caliber NFL quarterback. And I don't know what more you can ask for after that. You can say, all right, we know he's going to be a multi-time Pro Bowler. Hell, we thought Trevor Lawrence was going to be a no-doubt Hall of Famer. It's not as easy as that.
Well, now the rap on Shedeur is he can't walk and chew gum at the same time. His athletic profile is so low. It's gotten out of control how people are describing Shedeur Sanders, kind of ignoring the production.
Yeah, I'm waiting for him to wheel in a wheelchair. I'm like, what happened? We watched him running around in Colorado
I keep saying this. Everyone says, oh, you know, he can't do anything out of the pocket. Then the highlights running underneath every expert on TV is him running out of the pocket because the line was bad. He had to move a lot. So I do think he can go to a team with a bad line and produce.
So we're wondering how he's going to translate to the pros. And also the story of the draft is either how high he goes or how low he falls. You know, it's going to be one of the stories. And we'll see about the other quarterbacks and whether any others sneak into the first round. Kind of feels like sneaking in. Now the DraftKings odds have Jackson Dart. The line is set at 24.5. So they also believe that he's going to be a first rounder. But as far as Jalen Milroe, who's going to be attending the draft, or Shuck, or any of these other guys, it's just really,
who knows? Yep.
It's who knows. But Shedeur to me is really the most interesting one without a doubt.
I tell you who knows.
Yeah. Let's get to our next guest. Okay. Let's do it. Quincy Avery, quarterback guru, somebody who we've relied on many times to separate the fact from fiction when it comes to these quarterbacks. Really cool now. He's got a new documentary out about his life. It's called The Quincy Avery Effect, streaming on Hulu starting April 23rd. Quincy, Maggie and Perloff, thanks so much for the time and congrats on the documentary.
Thank you. I appreciate that. What is going on, y'all? How y'all doing?
Dude, proud of you for this documentary. I saw the trailer. It looks amazing. And everyone, it's not just me. Everyone who knows you is so psyched for this. I cannot wait. Going to sit around with the family who you've met and we're going to watch it. It's going to be great.
You know, Quincy, I didn't know too much about your background. Obviously, I'm aware of what you're doing now. You've worked with over 300 quarterbacks from Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts. We can see his jersey is behind you. Even the Pastronaut, Josh Dobbs, who is a fan favorite around here. But I didn't know your story that you were homeless for a long time, even when you were coming up in the coaching ranks. How did those years, when things were very unstable in your life, how did they prepare you for what you're doing now?
I think that the quarterback position is probably the thing that is most like life, right? You're going to go through really difficult times. You're going to go through great times. You're going to have to learn how to persevere through all those difficult moments in order to get what you want. Like, let's say you want to be a superstar NFL quarterback or whatever those things is. Like I talk about Jalen Hurts all the time, all the things that he had to go through, the difficult moments, the tribulations, but he stayed like dedicated to the things that he wanted to do, and his actions were congruent with the thoughts that he had, and he was able to be successful. I think that I can relate to them in a unique way because I went through some adversity. Like I never was as good at football as the guys that I trained, but I could talk about the difficult moments and like how I had to make a decision every single day, right? I had to make a decision every single day. Am I going to follow my dreams? Am I going to do the little stuff right? It's easy to not do the little things right when you're looking at like where I got to go sleep in my car tonight, right? It would have been very easy for me to not message kids trying to get them to go work out and train with me. But I consistently made a decision like, this is what I want to do. I'm going to be really successful at this. Despite the adversity, I'm going to keep pushing through. And I think that's what allowed me to be where I am today in terms of the success I've had. And it's also allowed me to really relate to the guys that I get to work with.
Quincy, does every great quarterback have an adversity story behind them? Is there anybody who's had an easy street to being a primetime QB?
I think we kind of talked about that before, but no, you can't play this game at a high level and not face adversity, right? It's going to happen in some way, shape, or form. And the guys who've really had to go through some are always able to bounce back in those moments. And that is what the greatest quarterback of all time, Tom Brady, right? He was getting ready to take a job because the adversity he was hitting. And now everybody looks at him like, man, he's the greatest. You cannot do it. You cannot build that callus without it. And that's what I can get concerned about, especially the young quarterbacks today, between the NIL and their parents, like just getting obstacles out of our way. It makes me really, really concerned about what the quarterback position is going to look like in 20 years when these guys have to go through some really difficult things and their parents aren't there to save them.
Quincy Avery is joining us. The new documentary is called The Quincy Avery Effect. It streams on Hulu starting April 23rd. And of course, my Hulu is just bundled right together with my Disney Plus, so I got it right there. I'm sure you do too out there if you're listening. A couple ways I want to take this, Quincy, but you know, the fact that you have had access to Patrick Mahomes, and I want to get to Shedeur Sanders and these quarterbacks in a minute, but you know, you did work with Mahomes before he was drafted, and obviously he's the guy of this generation. And I'm curious if looking back at Mahomes, if there was anything either from a physical or skill set standpoint that was underrated at the time that now is this predictor of success, or do you think Mahomes' success is more from the neck up? I mean, you know, just being able to see Mahomes, who was not a sure thing coming into the draft, coming out of Texas Tech, what do you look back and say, ah, this was actually the secret sauce?
From what I saw, right? And I'm not someone who's worked with Mahomes like extensively, but what I saw is competitive greatness. Patrick Mahomes has a competitive side to him that I think is truly unique. Not only is he competitive, but he has unique figured outness. And what I mean by figured outness is whatever we're doing, he's going to figure out a way to get it done. He might not be the fastest, but he's always going to be fast enough. Right, he might not be the quickest, but he's gonna be quick enough. His arm was able to do every single thing, so he's always figuring out like the gaps, like the tricks and things, in order for him to be the most successful. And I think that we've seen that at the NFL level. Mahomes might not be the most talented quarterback ever. Like I wouldn't say, oh, he has the strongest arm or this or that, but he's damn sure the best quarterback right now because he is so competitive. He's always figuring out how to be the best version of himself. And that, to me, is what makes quarterbacks special. And those things are really hard to measure, especially in this pre-draft time where we're looking at guys trying to figure out who is going to be the quarterback that our team selects. It's so difficult to, like, get inside that person or see them or even trust the people that you ask questions about because they always want their guy to get drafted higher. So these NFL type teams have a very difficult task in terms of figuring out who they want to select to be their quarterback.
Quincy, I want to get into this draft. You have a Jalen Hurts jersey over your shoulder if you're watching on our YouTube channel. So Hurts, Alabama quarterback, came into the NFL a little flawed. You know I'm going to ask about Jalen Milroe. Maggie and I were just debating the issues. You know, didn't have a lot of accuracy last year. Obviously a lot of physical talent. But does the NFL look at some of his deficiency and say we could work with him, or are some teams being like, you know, the some of the passing we saw last year, this is not what we want?
Yeah, I think that there's definitely going to be a bit of teams on both sides. There's going to be teams on both sides of the fence. If I wanted to compare him to somebody, it would be a more athletic Mariota, right, with a little bit less of the passing acumen that he had coming out of college. And now Marcus Mariota was not a great thrower in the NFL either, but he was able to win a lot of games with the Tennessee Titans because they were able to construct an offense that allowed him to use his legs, a lot of zone read, put defense in a lot of stress. And that is, if somebody wants to draft Jalen Milroe, they're going to really have to build a team around his strengths. We're going to have to be so heavy in the quarterback run game that the defense gives us throws and makes things really, really easy in terms of one-on-one situations. He did not throw the ball great last year. I definitely agree. That is concerning to me. He's not probably someone I would think, like, let's take this guy in the first round. But I do think that there's things that we can build on. Like, I always go back to Jalen Hurts was drafted in the second round. I thought maybe not as athletic as Jalen Milroe, but he was a better passer. So if he goes in the second round, it'd be really tough for me to see a situation in which Jalen Milroe went any earlier than that.
Quincy Avery is our guest. Quincy, off of that, you know, you're a quarterback guru. You work with all these guys and over 300 quarterbacks, and your story is so much more than that. But for our purposes today, what's the easiest bad habit to fix at the NFL level, and what's the hardest bad habit to fix at the NFL level for quarterbacks?
The most difficult thing I'll say to fix or correct is just accuracy, right? Because you can see completion percentage, and that could go up, but that doesn't mean somebody's way more accurate. Accuracy in terms of NFL is throwing footballs in a position where a guy can continue running full speed, catch the ball, and make a move after he's caught it, right? That is high-level accuracy, and that requires anticipation, understanding defenses, having really good spatial awareness so I can see the leverage of somebody and throw a football early. That's a lot of thing that goes into accuracy, right? So to me, that is the most difficult thing to fix. And the easiest thing to fix is honestly a quarterback's footwork, right? You can really do that in the offseason. You can figure out the timing, the base and balance in which you want a quarterback to play in, and you can really structure a lot of drills that don't require a ton of thinking. You can do those almost every single day because it doesn't wear on you like things with your arms. So if I had a quarterback and people had concerns about his footwork or the lower half mechanics in terms of pre-pass, that's not something I'd be very, very worried about.
Talking to Quincy Avery, quarterback guru. All right, Quincy, one of the many things you've done has been a counselor at Elite 11 Finals. I will buy you lunch if you can name three quarterbacks who were in the Elite 11 Finals with Tyler Shuck, if you remember Tyler Shuck.
It's easy. That's just Justin Fields. That is Trevor Lawrence. That is Jaren Williams, who went to the University of Miami. That is three quarterbacks for sure.
All right, I owe you lunch. You realize a lot of those people...
I was like, was that in black and white?
A lot of those people have been in the pros for a long time, second contracts. Tell us about Tyler Shuck's journey. Are you surprised that he's getting so much interest this draft cycle?
Yeah, I'm surprised. It kind of leans into the deficiency of the position in terms of depth in this class. Tyler is someone who I think could go second or third round this year. I don't think in many other years he does that. He's older, but I think that teams now understand that a 25 or 26-year-old quarterback is not that big of an issue, right? If I have a quarterback who's successful, I don't care how old he is because he can play for long enough, especially if you're not a starter, as a backup where you can be a really sound investment for our organization for a long period of time. But Tyler does a lot of things really well, right? He's able to play enough off schedule, right? He's sneaky athletic is what they call the white quarterbacks. But I think that he's a really good quarterback. He's able to move really well and create and extend plays out of pocket. But I talk about this, the things that I saw from Tyler Shuck in terms of the red zone passes that he made this year at the college level was something that really intrigued me, because those red zone passes at the college level are much like NFL, the game, because you have to make throws in such confined spaces. You have to throw the ball so early. You have to throw the ball on time and with different trajectories. And he was able to do all those things, which leads me to believe that he could have a really long career in the NFL.
Quincy Avery with us. Last one for me, Quincy. It's about Shador. Obviously, he's the most polarizing quarterback in this draft. it's an easy question, but I don't know if it's an easy answer. Do his traits translate to the NFL level at a high level?
So when we talk about traits, I think that we've seen enough like big conversation about that. We've never seen a quarterback go in the first round who was really limited in terms of traits. So I don't see the translation in terms of the things that he did in college working in the NFL. The offense that he ran was so focused on passes at or behind the line of scrimmage. I think that he threw more of those than anybody in the country. And the second component of it was he took longer to throw than anybody in the country with just 2.94 seconds or 96 seconds. So he's living in both of those two worlds, right? I'm throwing a lot of passes behind the line of scrimmage, and then I take a long time to throw down the field. I think that he is accurate, right, in terms of throwing the football where he wants to throw the football. But I don't see the anticipation in a large scale, right? Throwing the football early, what I just talked about earlier, throwing the football before a guy comes out of his break, seeing what a defense is doing pre-snap, which allows me to go to the line of scrimmage with a really good plan. Now, that may be as much on his coaching staff as it is on him, which he may be able to correct. But those are tough to give people the benefit of the doubt if they don't have the athletic profile that would lead you to believe that they can overcome difficulty with an offensive structure so that they can be successful. So if I can't play within real structure so that I can be successful, then it's difficult when you're not athletic enough to run around and create plays. Like Shador's probably a 5'1", 5'2 quarterback, which I know at college we could see times where he would run and extend plays. But these guys in the NFL are different, right? I got fast quarterbacks who get caught in the NFL, and he's not fast. So I think that he can be successful, but I want to figure out how he's going to do it because I don't see it right now.
Quincy, before we let you go, Deshaun Watson, who you've worked with, what's the latest? Any chance he gets back this year? I don't know if you're at liberty to say, but he came out and said, I'd like to try to play this year. I know the Achilles, we just saw with Aaron Rodgers, and it's hard to come back from. You think there's a chance he gets on the field this year?
Yeah, two Achilles is even tougher than one.
Yeah.
What I will say is I think that he's doing everything that he can in order to be prepared to play at some point this season. Right, the timeline has him in a situation where I think that he'll be in a position where he can do some things. Now, whatever that looks like between the team and Deshaun, I'll never know. My only job is to make sure that if he can play, that he's prepared, and we've been doing all the things that we can do in order for him to be as successful as possible when or if he gets out there.
Quincy Avery Effect on Hulu. Who are some of the people who you'll hear from in the? I've seen the trailer. Haven't seen the movie. Just give us a couple quarterbacks. Anyone that surprised you that is in there?
Warren Moon, Tony Dungy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, okay. Got both those guys in there. We got C.J. Stroud, Jordan Love. There's a bit on Jalen Hurts. It was tricky getting this interview because he played in the Super Bowl, and the way that you shoot these documentaries, like some of the interviews need to be done well in advance, so we weren't able to get his interview done. Malik Willis was really appreciative of him doing this interview because he has such a unique story, and he could talk about teams where I was really on his tail in terms of the things that he needed to do in order to be successful. And I think a lot of times people may see like what they envision as me is like somebody on Twitter who talks trash or makes jokes and things like that. But they don't understand the like love and support that I have for the guys that I work with and how I'm holding them accountable and making sure they're doing the things that they need to do
Q, real quick, tell people the Tony Dungy connection because I don't think everyone knows that.
Yeah, so Tony Dungy and my father played together at the University of Minnesota. So he's someone who's I've grown up with like an uncle. My dad coached for him at Tampa Bay, so I've been around him for a long time. He's been always very supportive of me and kind of championed some of the things that I was doing. And it's cool to be where I'm at now and someone like that to look at me and really be proud of the things I'm doing.
Quincy, what does Jordan Love have to work on this offseason?
You know, Jordan Love just has to get better at the really routine things, right? Because I think that he does so much of the sizzle. Makes those explosive plays. You see him bouncing back there in the pocket. But when he just takes a 4-yard check down, like it's not there. I'm just going to take this 4-yard check down. And I think we saw him maturing into that last season, especially towards the end of the year. Very few interceptions. He was playing with a lot of injuries, really, really nicked up, but he was able to be really successful in that. And I think that a healthy version of Jordan Love, who's able to be aggressive when it's available, but at the same time take the completions, is going to be someone who's going to be really special.
You can watch The Quincy Avery Effect streaming on Hulu starting April 23rd. Congratulations, Quincy. Can't wait to watch it and on all your success, and really considering where you started, which is, you know, living out of your car, trying to make this thing a reality. You've certainly done that. So thank you.
Truly appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks,
Quincy.
All right, Quincy Avery, we have a lot to react to there, including his comments about Shador Sanders, which we will break down in just moments. Also, it is Monday, which means the M&P 500. Whose stock is up? Whose stock is down after a big weekend? M&P.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff.
There's no way you guys know Vanilla Ice.
I do.
Vanilla Ice, come on. He had a big resurgence. This song had a big resurgence a couple years ago, right?
Manny didn't know. You don't know Vanilla Ice.
Ice, baby. Okay. I'm nice, baby.
Okay. And Andrew knows it. All right.
Wait,
I'm sorry. I didn't think Vanilla Ice was living on.
I caught the tail end. I caught him crashing out.
There's no way you caught the tail end. The tail end happened in like 1992.
Wait, 92? Right?
Yeah, Vanilla Ice was the first concert I ever went to as a kid.
I mean, what year did the actual song Under Pressure come out?
Well, Under Pressure, like this is 82? Obviously the Bowie song. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
When did Ice Ice Baby come out?
1990.
1990, yeah. So Vanilla Ice didn't last that long. You said you were there for the tail end.
Listen,
you weren't even born for the tail end.
I listen to Biggie Smalls still, and he wasn't around when I was born. So,
do you know MC Hammer?
I'm familiar with his work, yeah, sure.
Yeah, you know Run DMC. I mean, that's sort of...
Yeah, yeah, come on.
Okay.
Run DMC, I mean, they're... Come on.
Manny had never heard of ABBA. Like, this isn't totally out of... Totally
yeah, Vanilla Ice is like from the 40s. So, I mean,
the 40s.
Vanilla Ice is a giant in the game compared to ABBA.
there's something wrong with that statement.
Does anyone know his real name?
Vanilla Ice?
Yeah.
I do, but I'm old. You do?
I just stumbled upon it.
I actually don't remember it. I met him.
It's Robbie Van Winkler, right?
Van Winkle. So I'm on his Wikipedia page, and at the top,
it's not
Rob
chocolate.
Van Winkle redirects here. For the short story, see Rip Van Winkle.
I couldn't remember.
I was like, wait, what? For 100 years.
That's the connection, and then I figured it out.
You met Vanilla Ice?
Oh, yeah. He's a part of the Chef Sandler crew. He's
right.
been in...
What was he in?
He was in That's My Boy with Me. He's in a couple of them. He's a super nice guy. Unbelievably nice guy.
Vanilla Ice, yeah.
That's good, because he could be bitter.
He got held out of a window by Suge Knight.
Yeah. By his ankles, held over a balcony.
Oh,
yeah, that might change you.
I don't think he's done great. I think he still probably tours, I would imagine. Like, wouldn't you go pay to see, or if you were having a corporate event, wouldn't you bring Vanilla Ice in?
No, I would not.
He has a second song. Oh, I think it's called Ninja Rap from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
So not a one-hit wonder?
No, I'm just saying, I'm trying to, if you put... Yeah, book Vanilla Ice. Do you have enough songs to get through the set?
I'm sure he's got a...
There's a million remixes of Ice Ice Baby, though.
Yeah, he can get you 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Honestly, I bet it, to be not no disrespect, I don't bet it probably doesn't cost that much. I remember our old boss, Spike Eskin, who has now moved on to WIP in the afternoons. They booked Coolio before he tragically passed away, sadly passed away, and it was $5,000.
That was it?
Like, you could get that together for, like, a bachelorette party.
Yeah.
Ooh. I don't know. If you want to go see Vanilla Ice at the Hard Rock in Atlantic City, tickets start at $54.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
How many shows is he doing in Atlantic City?
He's doing...
Does he have a residency there?
No, he's on tour.
Stumble upon. I don't know if I'd, like, actually buy the tickets, but all of a sudden it was like, this. I'm already in AC.
Couple drinks. Why not? Sure.
Yeah, like, do you guys want to go see Vanilla Ice? Like, yes. And whoever single out of our crew is making out with Vanilla Ice before this night is over.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
By the way, Ninja Rap did not chart there, Perloff. I looked up his discography.
No, Vanilla Ice was a one-hit wonder because we put him on our one-hit wonder bracket when we did that last summer.
Mm-hmm.
Play That Funky Music.
Number four.
That got to number four?
On the U.S. charts, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's obviously a one-hit wonder. And it wasn't even his hit. Try to explain the difference between his and the Queen song. It's like, there's the Bowie song. Yeah. Well, Queen.
Oh, yeah, Queen. Yeah. Sorry, they're together.
I think it was actually a Queen song. I think Bowie just did a vocal, but it was...
She wouldn't know. She didn't watch Bohemian Rhapsody.
No, I didn't. Hated it.
He's like...
You hated the movie? Really?
Yeah.
What did you... I'm sorry. Maybe after his point, I'm curious what you didn't like about
it. Yeah, we did this last week.
All right, then.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Wait, I can't even remember my point. I was going to explain how Rob
about
Van
the difference
Winkle.
Between Under Pressure.
Oh, yeah. They're bum, 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 bum. Mine is bum, 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 bum.
Do you have to present that to a judge? Like, Your Honor, it's but a bum, bum.
Yeah.
Not but a bum, bum. You'd be shocked how many of these artists have to pay each other and get sued all the time. I once
saw a
list.
Say it was just sampling.
Yeah, right. It's like 100 lawsuits you never knew existed over music.
But that one is probably the most obvious because the two songs are identical, except for the words.
Yeah, I'm assuming they had to give some kind of royalties or something to Queen.
Yeah, but get into CeeLo why you don't like the Queen movie.
I love Queen.
You did this last week. I'm sorry for the listeners who are dragging you back.
No, I think it's a bad biopic.
I think it doesn't tell the real adversity. They yada, yada, yada over a lot of it.
Dude died of AIDS in the movie.
Right.
But they didn't do any of the band stuff, like the ups and downs of the band. I didn't feel like they were true to how much controversy. And I guess what it came back to is the band had a lot of control over
the
biopic.
But he also left the band with a coke problem halfway through the movie. I don't understand.
We never saw a down and out, though. He was.
Oh, my God.
At least they didn't yada yada
what
over the best part
watching?
Like in Seinfeld.
It was as down and out as possible. He's alone in his mansion with a plate full of cocaine and no friends.
It just didn't seem sad enough.
I just thought he was incredible as Freddie Mercury.
It didn't seem sad enough. You're evil.
I'm with you on that. I think I got caught up in his performance.
He dies at the end.
And the music scenes, you know?
Yeah, yeah. He was just so good.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm the sucker for a musical biopic. I like the Elton John one, too, and that didn't get
super sad. Oh, that got panned. I didn't watch it.
Oh, it got panned. I don't think it got panned. It was okay. It was pretty good. He was amazing as Elton John. Taron Egerton.
Yeah.
Did you like that one, too? Oh, you didn't see it?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Cash.
I'm a sucker for them, too, though.
Yeah. Did you watch a Dylan one?
I did not. Not yet, no. Like I've seen it and lived it through Chris Mad Dog Russo and his infatuation with the movie. And...
yeah, he did.
Oh, no. Is he into that movie?
It worked so much to get to meet Chalamet.
Yeah. He went to the premiere in France because he was talking about how much he loved Chalamet's performance, and they got in touch with him. It was a whole thing. Yeah.
Okay.
It was interesting. So I'm like, what was funny about the Mad Dog part of it is Mad Dog is, you know, of the generation that he actually loves Dylan.
Right.
But his celebrity, as big as Mad Dog's celebrity is not enough to get him to Dylan. But it got him to Chalamet.
Yes.
It's kind of like...
We kind of shamed them into it.
Yeah, he shamed them into it. But it was just funny to me because I'm like, does he even realize what he's doing here? Mm. He actually wants
story.
He wants Dylan.
Yeah.
But there's no way Dylan's making time for Mad Dog Russo.
No.
There's no way that Dylan secretly was listening to Mike and the Mad Dog all
chance.
Those years.
No.
Not a shot.
No.
And so, do you know Bob Dylan's real name?
That's Robert Zimmerman. Well, yeah, I saw the movie, right? But the other thing, Dylan wouldn't go to his own Nobel Prize.
Exactly.
Well, he's not going to be. Rocketman
got
getting amazing
Dylan.
Reviews. That's an 89% critic review, 90% popcorn meter. Rocketman was good.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought people would like it.
It's really good.
I love Elton John's.
Yeah, it's but you might be like, it's not dark enough.
I do want darker. I don't like when they yada yada over the adversity.
Wait, Freddie Mercury died at the end of Bohemian Rhapsody?
Very much so.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And also the Live Aid scene was you're so into it. You're right. The band did sort of make it. The issue was the band made it seem like they were cool, and they're not. If you see a picture of them, it was obviously like, man, we're super cool. But then
who's taking shots now?
Like, they were a 70s band. They had long, curly hair.
But that was cool back then, though.
Hit after hit after hit.
I mean, I didn't look
through
they
were a video killed the radio star kind of band.
All right.
That's fair to say. I would imagine. Anyway, good movie. Rocketman, really good. EJ hates those biopics. He's always like, why is a biopic of a dead rock star getting nominated for an Oscar over an awesome Marvel movie?
I mean, I don't think he's the only person who thinks that.
No, he's got a good point, but not everyone says a Marvel movie should get nominated either.
That's true. CeeLo is here with headlines. We'll get back. If you missed our interview with Quincy Avery, the quarterback guru who's trained 300 different quarterbacks, pro, college, not very high on Shador Sanders. We'll get back to those comments in a moment, but CeeLo has the latest.
All right, we've seen it thousands of times across his future Hall of Fame career, but at the age of 37, Steph Curry still dazzling with the long-range shooting prowess. A little sampling from Sunday's Game 1 road playoff win for the Warriors over the Rockets, montage style for you with the TV broadcast on TNT.
Curry, 3,
called! Oh, man.
Oh, he hit that from way outside!
Şengün will defend, Curry's got it. He and Butler, as I said, 18 apiece. He'll dance. He'll throw up a shot.
Oh, goodness. Are you kidding me?
Geometrically, that should not have happened. Wow.
Close to Curry. Thompson comes out on Curry. 3.
Bullseye.
No way.
It's a Curry 3.
Ring it up. Curry with a triple.
Shot clock at 6. Curry just runs into a 30-footer. Just think about that.
Kevin Harlan and Reggie Miller just in awe on TNT. Some circus shots for Curry. He had 5 threes and 31 points to send the Warriors past the Rockets 95-85. So low-scoring game for current NBA standards. And Steph's three-point shooting aside, Steve Kerr with an early observation about Ime Udoka's Houston team.
They're not a typical modern NBA team. You know, in terms of spreading you out, you know, playing fast, shooting a million threes, they're kind of old school. In many ways, they're in the image of their coach. You know, Ime was He was a grinder as a player. He was, you know, tough, and that's what Houston is.
And with that, he added that it reminds him of his own playing days with the Jordan Bulls of the late 80s
or 90s. In this series, you can see they're, you know, they know where their advantage lies. So it felt like, you know, 1997 out there.
A little throwback. And Jimmy Butler had 25 Sheesh. Points and 6 assists. Not so much on the Curry side, but I guess from Houston's standpoint, that's what he sees out there. Warriors and Timberwolves, the only two road teams to take their series opener over the weekend. You had a laugher in Oklahoma City. The Thunder led by 49 after three quarters, and that was only after that Memphis half-court shot at the buzzer at the end of the third quarter, which we heard last hour. And it ended up, where did I put the final score? Sorry about that.
1-0.
Yeah, it was not close.
Where the heck did it go? What is it now? 130-180. Sorry, I removed it from my script. I'm giving you the after three quarters score.
131-80.
Yes.
Yeah.
Either way, it was quite a bit. Yes. You also had the Cavaliers over the Heat, 121-100, and the Celtics took care of the Magic, 103-86. Tonight, game two between the Knicks and the Pistons after New York took the series opener Saturday at Madison Square Garden, to that 21-0 run to retake control of the ball game. And the Nuggets will go for a 2-0 series lead over the Clippers, Denver needing overtime to win game one on Saturday. Stanley Cup playoffs, all the home teams won their series openers Saturday. Hurricanes over the Devils in Raleigh, 4-1. The Maple Leafs beat the Senators in game one of the Battle of Ontario, 6-2. And Vegas closed out the Sunday slate with an empty netter to finish off Minnesota.
Taken by the Knights, sent down at the horn!
Golden Knights Radio as they beat the Wild by a final score of 4-2. All right, another quirky baseball story from Sunday. Yes. So the Rockies fell to the Nationals at Coors Field 3-2, but in defeat, rookie catcher Braxton Fulford hit a home run into the left field seats for what was his first big league hit.
Oh, nice.
Rockies went out to retrieve the ball for him, but the fan, along with his, I guess, wife or girlfriend, wasn't about to just hand it over, and Rockies TV caught up with that fan after the home run.
So you got a chance to negotiate with the Rockies for the ball. How did you do it?
First, they said they were going to give me a ball. Then I asked for $1,000. Then I got turned down. Then we were talking for a little bit. And I asked to meet the player. It's a getaway game, so we decided on a signed bat.
So he got stiff-armed on the cash and the meet and greet.
Oh, there you go.
He Wait, did he wanted 1,000 baseballs or 1,000 bucks?
1,000 grand.
Okay.
Yeah, 1,000 bucks.
Like, what are you going to do with 1,000 baseballs?
No, $1,000, which at first when I saw this, I was like, damn, the Rockies wouldn't pay $1,000 for this kid. The more I thought about it, I was like, yeah, that ball wouldn't go for $1,000 on the open market.
Exactly.
And then if they give that, then anytime it happens, everyone's going to be looking for the money.
Well, so the Rockies' payroll is like...
Well, that's what people were saying.
25 grand.
They're like, oh, this cheap franchise won't pay $1,000 for the ball. But I'm like,
it's like, that's like 85% of their payroll right there.
Exactly. But he got the bat.
25 grand.
It's probably 25 million, though. I can't imagine much more than that.
So they got the bat, and for this gentleman, also a good showing for his lady. She had a good time at the ball game on an Easter Sunday. She was into it.
Now, Hannah, you were joking with me that she said this was one of your favorite moments that you've enjoyed.
Of my life. Yeah, top moment of my life. Unexpected, joyful. Everybody was screaming. I'm on TV. I love you, Mom. Yeah, no, best day ever.
Bar was set low, yeah. I guess.
I mean she understood the assignment. Though. You know, you got to be really happy and exciting, but you got to get out more.
I mean, that's tough. I mean, hey, I'm just saying. Yesterday was 4:20. They're in Denver, Colorado.
Point.
Just saying.
That's a very good point. Clearly.
If that's the highest point of your life, let's put down the dubs. You know,
nowhere to go but up.
Although, to be fair, I've never caught a foul ball, let alone a home run ball.
Same.
It's got to be thrilling.
But I don't know that I'd go one of the best days of my life, you know? Cool experience, but I don't think it would go. I don't think it would be that high.
My husband caught one once. We still have the ball.
I've always wanted to catch one. Never have.
Yeah,
I want to, but
I'll bring a glove now.
It's fun. Yeah.
Bring a glove. You're too old.
You don't need a glove. Just barehand
it. Barehand it like a man. Yeah. Come on. Catch it with your beard.
I've never even really come that close.
That's what this guy, tried for the bare hand and dropped it, but wasn't exactly a capacity crowd, so he was able to retrieve it after it fell.
You mean to tell me that there wasn't 40,000 strong at Coors Field?
There was not.
April?
I don't blame the Denver fans for that.
Not on Easter either. Lastly, Justin Thomas with a birdie, right, that too, on the first playoff hole to beat Andrew Novak, win the RBC Heritage in Hilton Head, South Carolina, as he snaps what was nearly a three-year drought, his first victory since winning the PGA Championship back in 2022.
Slump buster.
You're the drought breaker, baby. Thank you, CeeLo. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. See you guys on the phones. You want to talk about Shador Sanders, whether he will be a good pro or not. We will do the M&P 500 next.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings.
Which for me would be pineapple and toenails. Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run. Everything baseball, all season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The M&P 500 on the Infinity Sports Network.
Welcome back to the Maggie Perloff Show. Every Monday we take the temperature of not just the sports world, the world, with our M&P 500. Whose stock is up? Whose stock is down after a big weekend? Pearl, whose stock is up?
Okay, here's an interesting trivia question. Who had the highest first playoff game scoring total for a Cleveland Cavalier ever?
Ty Jerome.
No, it's LeBron, then Kyrie. But Ty Jerome is third. But the thing about Ty Jerome...
You set me up.
I know, I did tell you. I knew you were going to say that. He had 16 points in the fourth quarter yesterday to lead the Cavs past the Heat. You know, EJ is not here today. EJ has been talking about Ty Jerome nonstop all year as an X factor for the Cavs as they try and get out of the East. And he was awesome. So I'm going Ty Jerome with my stock up. And I did. You're right. I totally tricked you. Sorry about that. I mean, he is LeBron.
I fell right into
Ty it. Ty Jerome, also from the Westchester area, from the New York City area.
Yeah, I know. Manny's a huge fan.
I own a prep.
There were a couple guys who I felt like were a little, not out of nowhere, but they weren't exactly the guys you thought who were going to be closing on some of these games.
Yeah, well, Ty Jerome, though, has been good this year.
No, he's been very good all year. But even like the Dante DiVincenzo who came through with some big fourth quarter, stuff like that. Okay, on the basketball front, I was going to give it up to EJ and Manny's New York Knicks. I mean, 21-0 run, but can I specifically give it up to, you think I'm going to say Brunson, and he was great, Karl Anthony Towns. The difference between the minutes when Towns is on the floor versus off the floor, I thought were stark. And I'm going to be honest, like, Towns has had a great year, but he's not, like, he did a lot to erase some of the playoff question marks last season, but not enough. And this is a very important postseason for him, and I thought that he was excellent, and especially down the stretch, coming up with steals, and he was just everywhere. So I'm going to do stock up the Knicks, but specifically Karl Anthony Towns.
Okay, that's pretty good. I like it,
Maggie.
I thought you might.
I will go stock down. Let's take the exact opposite end of the spectrum. We talked about the Grizzlies blowout loss.
Oh,
there's one particular number that I liked here. Desmond Bain, who's a great player, he had a plus minus of minus 51.
Oh, no.
He is the first player in the 20th century to hit minus 50 in a playoff game. Is that bad?
Oh, my God.
It's not good.
Is that bad?
It's not good.
That doesn't seem fair because he was so good in the play-in.
Right. The Grizzlies, they could not see the basket. The Thunder were so swarming that they were like, well, Desmond, you might as well try and shoot the ball because none of us can get a shot off. Incredible game. But poor Desmond Bane is now in a little bit of history there.
Yeah, that's not so awesome. Okay, if we're going to go stock up and you go stock down, I also have to, and I just lost here. You know, it's like a yin and yang thing.
Yeah.
For every awesome story, there's got to be someone who just, you know, pays the price here. I don't know if you saw the Milwaukee Brewers over the weekend.
No.
Okay. Aggressiveness on a base pass is an understatement. They had 6 stolen bases in the first inning alone and on 2 double steals. Okay. They ended the game. Let's see. According to Elias, no team had stolen as many as 6 bases in one inning since the expansion era started in 1961. Okay. The Sports Radar said the Brewers were the first team to steal 6 bases in an inning since August 26, 1919. Like, they were making history. Oh, but the problem is, that's a cool stock up, but the stock down has got to be Shea Langeliers, who's the catcher.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who, catcher for, why am I blanking? For the Athletics, obviously, who they were playing. You can't get run all over like that.
No.
It's the stock down for the catcher. Sorry if this is a little clunky. Stock down for the catcher, yeah, who allowed all these stolen bases to happen on his watch. And, you know, so what are you going to do about double steals? Like, that's going to be really hard. But again, as if things couldn't be bad for the Brewers, but that's no good.
No, that's Langeliers. Bad.
You can't have people running all over you, making
you might
history.
Call a couple pitch outs there in that situation. That gets embarrassed. That must be a helpless feeling. Okay, do one more stock up. Fernando Tatis Jr., not only is he destroying everybody at the bat plate right now, another in our Maggie and Perloff Home Run Derby, the season-long contest to get the most home runs. EJ has Aaron Judge and now Fernando Tatis, who hit his 8th homer last night. The thing that he didn't, he got a line drive, landed on his butt, from his butt, threw the ball to first base and almost doubled off the guy. I have to tell you right now, and he's in the West Coast, so a lot of East Coasters might... That guy is pretty close to being a face of MLB kind of guy.
Oh,
he's
yeah,
electric. He was on ESPN's big game last night. He's one of the few guys out of market that I will definitely watch. He is, now he's just hot. And I would pitch around him. That's a guy I would pitch out as well, especially if my catcher can't throw out anyway. But he's fantastic.
I forgot it was also 2 throwing errors by Shea Langeliers. This is more to that. You're right. I think Tatis was certainly on his way to being the face of the league, but then he had the steroid suspension. It kind of knocked him down a couple pegs, but now he's certainly back. And
it was ringworm. It was ringworm.
Yeah, right now he's hitting .358, second in the MLB with 8 home runs. OPS of 1.128. That's good.
Okay, I have a stock down, and I can't tell if this is going to be popular or not popular. I have no idea how this is going to go, but I feel very confident in saying this is my stock down. Easter candy compared to Halloween candy?
Mm-hmm.
Halloween candy is just so much better than Easter candy, and I'm not just talking about Peeps, which I know are weird and kind of, and people don't like them. I actually don't mind a Peep, but if we're just talking about 2 holidays, and I'm taking all the religious stuff away from Easter right now. We're just talking about the things they're kind of associated with for like kids and stuff is candy, right? Easter and Halloween, 2 candy holidays.
Yeah, I'm not touching this one.
The Halloween candy is just so far superior in variety.
Yeah, no duh.
Okay, well, I wasn't sure if people love Easter
Halloween
candy.
And Easter are not the 2 candy. I mean, Halloween is the candy holiday. Easter's got a lot more going on.
No, I know
Easter's
got a lot more. I'm just saying, I'm taking the candy aspect. Jelly beans, Cadbury cream eggs, just straight up chocolate eggs. Like, there's a lot here to work with. I mentioned the
Peeps. But that's all Halloween has is candy.
And the dressing up and, you know.
Get it's candy. Not the, it's trick or treat. Yeah.
I know. And I understand there's a religious element to Easter that is very serious, and I'm not trying to downplay that. I'm just saying from the candy aspect, Halloween over Easter. It's not even close. Like, yeah. I ate so much Easter candy yesterday, yeah. and I just felt really unsatisfied by it. And I love a Cadbury cream egg, but it's like, you know, Halloween. It's like, give me a Snickers to a yeah. Butterfinger yeah. to a Kit Kat yeah. to
a Twix bar.
Right. Yeah. And then like gummy worms or whatever. Yeah.
That's like saying that gifts are better on Christmas than Arbor Day. Of course Halloween has better candy.
I don't know. I wasn't sure a lot. I think a lot of people like Easter basket candy.
So I made Easter baskets for my two daughters on Sunday. It was Sunday morning. My wife panicked. She's like, you got to run to the drugstore and get something. So there was an issue.
Way to plan, Perloff.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. So
this one can't really sneak up on you.
I got this basket, and it was really good. There was a lot of good candies on there. There were these white Reese's peanut butter cups that were amazing. There were free-floating peeps within the basket that I was told was gross. So there were like these little toys in there.
Yeah.
And the peeps had no cover on them.
Yeah.
So my daughter's like, these like, peeps what? Are disgusting. They were just up against the toy. They they hated. They didn't like the peeps already. They were anti-peep.
Well, the thing is about the peeps, and everyone, any card-carrying member of a peeps nation knows this, you actually have to let the air get to them a little bit.
Oh, is that right?
To kind of, you got to harden out the exterior just a little.
I'm good.
To contrast with the marshmallow inside.
You know how you consume peeps?
Yeah.
By not buying them.
Oh, Manny, open your mind.
No, no.
They're fun to throw at candy corn.
Yeah, that. Eggs, too. That and candy corn. I mean, you know.
Yeah, candy corn sucks. I get that. But here's the other thing. I think that you have a love of peanut butter and chocolate, obviously the best combination ever created.
Yep, yep.
And that's where Easter really comes into play, although Halloween does have that as well. Like the peanut yeah. butter Easter eggs, do you buy those?
Yeah, that's what we got this time. They yeah. were amazing. But, you know, that's not really candy. That's more of a protein bar.
Yeah.
The peanut
yeah.
butter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
yeah.
Keep telling yourself that.
Yeah. No, I hear you, but... Yeah, Easter is meant for other things, Maggie. Also, you get amazing ham at dinner.
I'm just saying, candy for candy holiday.
There's no ham at Halloween.
Unless something went really wrong.
A high-end ham, solid.
888-710-4ISN. Manny, can you put that on the poll? Easter candy, Halloween candy, who do you have? Coming up, a question for you about the NBA.